friends, to the show that never ends. This is Wayback Playback, episode number 305, as this week we bring you the second hour of WCW Bash at the Beach 1996. Hello, you people. I am Pat McNeil. Normally, I'm joined by the other half of the podcasting tag team champions of time and space, Jim Valley, but Jim has been whisked away by his family for a camping trip, so I'm going to be joined by our guest host for this week, Ken Banks. You may remember Ken not only as a former indie wrestler who has guest hosted with us before, but also as our sponsor, the owner of Ken and Tex Pet Care of Bangor, Maine. So, Ken, are you ready to hop into the Wayback Machine and return to the summer of 1996 when we were too heavy, too light, too black or too white, too wrong or too right today or tonight?
Something along those lines would be great. I was 20 years old when this show first aired, so I was just a baby, so this will be a fun flashback for me.
Okay, you're old enough so that I don't hate you, so that's good. All right, meanwhile, don't forget our patrons rocking over at patreon.com/waybackplayback. Just put up Great American Bash 88, which some of you might remember from we did a few years ago, and by all means, check out those 3 hours if you haven't already. And other ratings news, we have moved up in the nation of India, where the Chartable says we're the 525th most listened to podcast in India. And and this is the third week in a row we've been charted. And simultaneous with this, I got a message from JoJo, Joseph Feeney, who runs Creative Control Network. And we're trying to figure out how we got on in India. He sends me a link. There's this site called geosavin.com. And they're a big podcasting site in India, and they carry Wayback Playback. And JoJo says you guys are going to be huge in India, and he's right. So thank you, everybody who's tuning in from India, and we'll probably have to schedule a Great Khali retrospective here in the upcoming months in order to thank you guys properly.
Do we really want to do that to the fine people of India?
It's up for consideration. Meanwhile, we've also Chartable says we're the 2,686th most listened to podcast in Canada, which is impressive given that there's about a million podcasts. Sure. And I've just been informed that we have charted for the first time in the freedom-loving nation of Ecuador. That's the 15th country that we have met on the charts with. We are, according to Spotify, we're the number 68 podcast in the sports and recreation category. So, yes, finally achieved our goal of getting more listeners than the Steve Austin podcast, at least in the nation of Ecuador, last week. Thank you very much.
That is tremendous. How are we doing in Japan?
We have not hit it big in Japan, but we still have time. I wasn't expecting us to hit in some of the nations that we've hit so far.
There we go.
So let's pick it back up. Our cultural touchstones for July 7th, 1996. New York Times bestsellers on this date. Fiction, Runaway Jury by John Grisham. Nonfiction, Bad As I Want to Be by Dennis Rodman with Tim Keown. That was nonfiction. And it also gave birth to one of the best parody titles ever for a autobiography, Bald As I Want to Be by Tony Kornheiser. So,
very nice.
Yes, even though I'm not a huge Tony Kornheiser fan, I did appreciate that. Number one song on the Billboard charts on July 7th, 1996. Jim would know this one. The Crossroads by Bone Thugs and Harmony in its eighth week at number one.
Oh, my God, that song. Good Lord. That song was inescapable.
Omnipresent.
In 1996. Holy cow.
You kids have no idea. All right. Yeah. But this you probably know about. Top movie, July 7th, 1996, Independence Day, starring Bill Pullman and Will Smith, in its first week at number one, obviously.
Absolutely.
A fine film. I don't know how well it holds up. I expect it, I never did see Independence Day 2.
Oh, whatever you do, do not see Independence Day 2.
Okay.
Leave it at the first one. Pretend the second one didn't happen.
That's good. I can do that. All right.
Yeah.
Big news stories on July 7th, 1996. Dolly the sheep became the first mammal to be successfully cloned. Uh-huh. That was a big deal. Or if you're interested in slightly more serious news, also the date that Nelson Mandela stepped down as president of South Africa. Just to give you an idea where we are. And top wrestling news, those crazy kids, Chris Candido and Tammy Sitch, have announced their engagement. Well, I hope nothing but the best for those.
I have a feeling that's going to work out great.
Well, it did. Well, they lasted. It was till death do they part, and you know, sadly, that happened. Sunday Night Baseball on against this, the Boston Red Sox at the Baltimore Orioles. The Red Sox went 7-5. Mo Vaughn jacks a 3-run homer off of Randy Myers in the top of the ninth, and Mr. Heathcliff Slocum shut down the Orioles in the bottom of the ninth for the win.
And I guarantee you that after the Red Sox vanquished their opponents that night, Mo Vaughn went out to a strip club. I guarantee you that is what happened.
I'm told they have those in Baltimore.
Yeah, and that is almost literally the only thing that Mo Vaughn ever did with his money. So good for him.
Yep. Okay. also on July 7th, the men's finals at Wimbledon. And tennis, Richard Krajicek beat Malavi Washington in the finals in straight sets. The match took 94 minutes. The highlight took place before the match when 23-year-old Londoner Melissa Johnson photobombed the pre-match handshake wearing nothing but a white caterer's apron.
Outstanding.
Yes. The pictures were available the next day in the London tabloids. And as you may have heard, we're joined by our sponsor, Ken of Ken and Tech's Pet Care of Bangor, Maine.
Over absolutely.
KenandTech.com, KenandTech.com. Also, he's on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, all under Ken and Tech, KenandTech.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily bother checking the Twitter account.
Now I know this has been this has not been the most fun year that we've all had in 2020. So how are things up in Maine? I've seen the statistics. Your guys are doing very well at handling the Rona.
But, we are. Yeah, I don't really know who's to credit for that, but however it came together, we've done quite well. Our cases have dropped precipitously. We're not a very heavily congested state to begin with, so we had that working in our favor. But yeah, there were definitely, I know for my business, I definitely took a hit for about 3 months. Things were definitely slower than I am used to. But just my clients are so terrific, Pat. I had so many people that even though they weren't using me over the last 3 months, they continued to pay me, you know, because, they said that they wanted to keep their spot. I had other people that were still hiring me to come by. And they would, you know, put their dog outside on an extended leash so that we would have no contact with one another and I could still continue to walk their dogs. Like, just my clients were so good to me, better than I deserved, I'm sure. And it was just wonderful being that highly thought of from everyone. And now I will say July has picked right back up, and I'm almost as busy as I was in the months leading into the pandemic. So I just can't thank my clients enough for being that good to me for so long. I couldn't have got by without them.
Okay, in the Bangor, Maine area, Ken and Tech's Pet Care, KenandTech.com, rates
absolutely,
and services and recommendations all on the website. And we thank you very much for sponsoring Wayback Playback.
Oh, I thank you, Pat.
Hello, my name's Jamie Irwin, and I host the podcast What's Your Favorite on the Creative Control Network. Join me as I ask a different guest each week about all their favorite things. Favorite band, film, song, food, drink, animal, season, TV show, book, and much more. You can find What's Your Favorite with Jamie Irwin by searching on all your favorite podcast apps. So subscribe today and check out what might be your new favorite podcast, What's Your Favorite? Did I just say the word favorite enough times? Yeah.
We would like to thank Gregoire Lourmet for the use of his track Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website, musicepique.com, MUSIQUE-EPIQUE.com. All right, so here we are. We're back. 49 minutes, 39 seconds.
49, 39.
Yeah, 49 minutes and 39 seconds. I've got I've got a crowd shot, and we are looking almost directly at a red light that's in our face.
Yep.
All right, so we're there, and we have four big matches to go. Let's see. Hold on. Okay, I don't want to push the wrong button, so let me go back here. All right. Yep. Okay, so everybody, we're going to hit play together in 3, 2, 1. And it's time for the dog collar match. That's right.
All right.
Well, geez. I mean, if we needed a reason to have Ken on, this is perfectly it.
Provided they're not using a prong collar or any sort of shock collar, I'll be fine with this.
This is the moment everybody's waiting for, the big matchup between the Nasty Boys and the Public Enemy.
Oh, dear.
Yes, Ted Petty, Mike Durham, otherwise known as Flyboy Rocka Rock and Johnny Grunge.
Each of these men have passed away, am I correct?
Yes, they are.
Yeah, okay.
Although actually, he had become, Mike Durham had become friends with Chris Benoit before he died.
That's right.
Took that death pretty hard. Johnny Grunge, I'm trying to think. Other than that, the big Johnny Grunge story is the time in when he was in WCW when he got drunk and tried to steal the production truck. That made him a legend. I don't think he got very far with the truck, but...
I got to say, in 1996, this match infuriated me. I resented this so much because I was a huge ECW loyalist at the time.
Yeah.
And to see the guys that had been used so properly in ECW, to see them come to WCW and use differently, it just made me very sad.
Well, you didn't like la-di-da-di, we got to like the pot.
The
Nasty Boys from, I want to say, like, 89, 90, they would have fit in pretty well in ECW, and they were good brawl. I mean, they could brawl.
Absolutely, of course they could. Yep, you're right.
All right. Yep.
And looking back now, I really don't like how much I resented those things, because this was this would have been quite a promotion to enjoy in 1996. I mean, was there a more talent-laden promotion in the history of wrestling than WCW from, like, 1996 to 1998?
WWE 2000-2001.
Fair enough.
Other than that, though, it's kind of hard. Yeah, but that's kind of not fair, because they literally had everybody.
That's very true.
All right. And the Nasties are the good guys. In as much as,
art imitating life?
Yes, the evil outside invaders of Rocka Rock and Johnny Grunge.
That's right.
Okay. And, I mean, they're definitely outsized in this matchup.
I would say so.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Ben. I'm sorry.
I'd do this to Jim. Dusty and Tony Schiavone are already plugging Nitro for tomorrow night, just in case you're wondering.
Of course. Okay. I was just going to say, in honor of Jim Valley, I was going to let everybody know that Jim Valley's wife's least favorite wrestler is Brian Knobbs.
That's true. Yes.
I've heard that once or twice.
Mm-hmm. I always appreciated when Roddy Piper used to refer to him as Big Bird.
I had never heard that till now. I like that very much.
Yeah. All right, here we go. So this is kind of how the dog collar matches start.
Yep.
All right. Of course, you don't see as many dog collar matches now, especially. I mean, in WWE, if you're going to have one, how do you do a dog collar match without somebody getting busted open?
Right. Absolutely.
It's kind of difficult. All right, and now we get split screen madness.
Oh, fantastic. It's like picture in picture.
Yes, it's two pictures in a picture.
I feel like I'm watching AEW.
Right. Well, and I did not appreciate this. I'm like, if you want to have the one big picture and put the smaller picture in the corner, that's fine, but this is just,
I agree.
Yeah.
And in 1996, who had big screen televisions anyway, you know?
That's true. We kind of didn't, yeah. Well, I mean, not like we do now.
Right. I sure as heck didn't, that's for sure.
Yeah. And when they used to do that during, like, the World War III Battle Royal, it was 10 times worse.
Oh, you're God, splitting up that was unwatchable.
Split it up into three screens, and it's three small screens. Come on.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so, yep, public enemy, yep. So, Ted Petty's getting his stuff in, and, yeah, and here we go.
I hate those trash cans.
Oh, my
God. Those look so insanely flimsy.
We have no idea where they used to get those.
Yeah, I've never seen one of those out in the wild.
No.
Not once.
And you're not going to.
No.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, as a former indie promoter, would have loved to have a few of those.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
As a former indie wrestler, I would rather be hit with one of those than, say, a steel chair. But
All right, we're over by the giant beach balls. Mm. Yes. Yeah. Ooh. Dusty, fighting in sand like a cat does. Thank you, Dusty. All right. Dusty
had a unique...
He's getting hit with an inflatable shark.
Oh, for the
baby love. Baby shark, doot. Sorry, I got a two-year-old. Yes. Okay.
He actually sold that inflatable...
Of course
inflatable
he did. He's
shark.
A professional.
Well, yeah, I know, but... Okay.
Yeah, why do you do that? I don't know. Oh, the sand in the eyes is a good one. That was a good one.
Yeah, I guess.
All right, no, down goes the lifeguard stand. All right. He's got a surfboard. Thank
yes,
you, Tony.
Yes.
Tony's saying he's got a surfboard like Jim Ross says he's got a barbed wire bat. Just to give you an idea.
I love Tony Schiavone.
Oh, yeah.
He is comfort food for my ears.
He is definitely underappreciated during his time.
Absolutely.
Okay. I've got a life preserver. Yeah, an inner tube. Mm. Yes, sir. Okay. All right, so let's go off in a different direction here. Yeah. And really, if you're doing the split screen, you don't want to have the four wrestlers brawling near each other, so you got to break them up and move them apart.
Yeah, that's very true. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's see. Okay, the referees with Sags and Ted Petty and with Rocco Rock. Oh, it's an RKO
Ooh.
Out of nowhere by Johnny Grunge.
How come no one has taken a steel chair full force to the skull yet?
I don't know. Maybe they've maybe they're saving it for Nitro. I don't know.
Okay, maybe so. That's true. You got to save it for the
first
show.
Save, yeah, you got to save something for Nitro.
Oh, okay. There are some headshots.
Yeah. Well, the Nasty Boys are involved. You're going to get somebody's going to get a chair shot to the head.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the other stories. I went to law school in University of South Carolina in Columbia, South Carolina, and there was a story that after the show, the wrestlers went downtown to Five Points, which was I don't know if it still is, but was the big, the big bar scene in Columbia, and really the only place that was open late on a Friday or Saturday night, and the
Which
Nasty
is
Boys
strange
went,
because
yeah,
I was just gonna say wrestlers aren't known to drink, so
I know,
right?
But the story I was told from somebody who witnessed it is the Nasty Boys showed up at Frank's hot dog stand and. Somebody cut in front of them in line, and they beat them up right there in the street.
Oh, God.
It's a Nasty Boys story. Yep.
How are the Nasty Boys still alive after all the things that they did over
it's
the course
a,
of their career?
It's impressive,
It really is.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, there we go. This is what WCW is all. This is the kind of competition WCW is all about, Ken. At least that's what it says on my closed captioning.
Oh, God.
All right, there we go. Whip with the chain, good. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, this is when WCW's at its best. They do things like this where they, you get different styles of matches throughout the whole show. So if there's something you don't like, just be patient.
Wait 5
Next
minutes.
Match will,
yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
There was a period there where just their roster was so deep. Just their undercard matches were unbelievably good. Just week after week.
Yeah, one of the jokes in 98 and 99 was every time WCW would hire somebody, it would be pointed out that they already had somebody better on their roster who they hadn't used in 18 months.
Right. Yeah, that is not far from the truth at all.
Oh, there we go.
But hey, I mean, if you've got all that money, you might as well spend it. It's not like you're going to, you know, lose it and go out of business before your time.
All right, so that's a pile driver outside the ring. Joe Sags is pile driver, rock outside the ring, and that should be the finish. But it's not.
He's not even going to go for a cover?
Well, Johnny Grunge was right there, standing right there.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, but still, it's like, come on.
This action is so fast and furious, Pat, I can't keep up with all of it.
Yes, it's so fast and furious that Paul Walker is going to show up any second. Okay, maybe not, but but have fun with that event. All right, he's dragging him back to the ring. Geez.
Oh, my.
Yep. Okay, yeah. Ooh. All right. Oh, there we go. Beautiful. Well, not beautiful, but I mean, you put the guy through a table. You get the referee over. Well, no.
Seriously.
No. Okay. The referee's tied up with Dobbs and Johnny Grunge. Okay.
You didn't get a great example of it there, but Ted Petty really was an underrated high flyer.
Yeah,
he was a terrific athlete in his younger days.
Very, very entertaining wrestler, yeah.
Yep. He, actually ahead of his time in many ways was some of the stuff that he used to do.
Nope. I mean, there was a reason why they got over in ECW, which was not an easy place to get over.
No, it was not. Yeah. And they also had Paul Heyman, of course, the master of, you know, disguising your weak points.
Right.
Yeah. Imagine that. That's a novel concept, a wrestling promoter trying to exploit your positives and downplay your negatives.
Well,
crazy idea.
I think AEW is trying to do that. I don't know because, like I said, I have a 2-year-old and I haven't seen Dynamite in several weeks, but that was what I think one of the things they were trying to do. All right.
Certainly more so than the competition. That's to be sure.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, why would you? Okay. Well, trying to impale him on the table legs. That was nice.
Yep.
Okay.
Just get up. Who is this referee? I do not recognize.
I don't know.
Guy.
That's a good question.
I don't remember ever seeing this guy.
Maybe this is hazing. All right, you're going to work. Okay. Congratulations, kid. You're new here. You're going to work the dog collar match.
Right.
Nasty Boys and Public Enemy. Good luck.
Well, at least he didn't have to pick these guys up from the airport. That would be something.
That
else.
Would not be good.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh.
Oh.
Oh,
God.
The table doesn't break. Oh.
Could that have been more contrived?
Oh. How do you get? Well, it's better than doing the pre-cut table spots.
It certainly is.
So they, one of the indie promotions in Virginia, they had a big, they had a big main event at the high school. It was Julio De Niro and Christian York, and they had a pre-cut table there at ringside, you know, and just sitting right there by the ring, draped like it's a timekeeper's table or something. So the opening match, you know, they get started. The heel crawls out of the ring over the table, crash. Beautiful.
Oh,
nice
indie,
job,
wrestling.
Indie wrestling.
Indie wrestling.
We love it so.
But I bet it was a huge payout for everybody that night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. Well, actually, I have it on good authority that Julio De Niro and Christian York got paid.
Well, I bet they did. I'm sure they wouldn't have made the trip if they had.
No, they wouldn't.
But I'm sure you have, like, an entire bank account that was, you know, strictly all came from your indie wrestling payouts and earnings.
You mean I had an entire bank account that was emptied by my earnings from winning indie wrestling? Yes, that's
right.
True. Yeah. All right, here we go, into the ropes. Oh, whoa.
Oh, my.
Oopsie. Like, that hurt Sags as much as it hurt Rocco Rocky. Yeah, I don't think so. I think that hurt Rocco more.
Four great athletes in their prime right here.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, very nice.
Well, that was actually kind of inventive.
Yeah. Okay, they're tangling the chains. I thought they were going to tangle the chains together. No, they're going to go to the finish. There we go.
Oh, thank God.
Yep, that's kind of what the announcer said.
Oh.
Tony says, that was a mess. Oh no. Gotta get your heat back.
I was gonna say, you gotta look strong.
Come on, gotta look strong, man. Let's unhook the dog collars.
I don't remember watching this pay-per-view live when it happened, but I guarantee you I was incensed to see Public Enemy job to the Nasty Boys.
Yeah. That's okay. They would end up winning the WCW Tag Team titles. Really, that did happen.
That did happen, okay.
This was the era before everybody won the Tag Team titles. So.
Yeah, right.
Yep. Yeah. All right.
There's another table.
Okay, Sags has gone through a table, maybe.
Yeah. Well, that was a heck of a spectacle, if nothing else.
Hey, okay. Oh, no. It's not over between these two teams. This feud must continue. Whatever.
Yeah. It really mustn't.
Yep. Yeah. Okay.
Do you remember the paid attendance of this show offhand? Because it looks good in the building.
As discussed very briefly last week, 6,400 paid, 1,900 comped, and because they weren't expecting it, 2,000 turned away at the door. 8,300.
Oh, wow. All right.
Yeah, the build got people. So.
Sure.
Yes. We have no idea who the third man is tonight. We have no idea where Eric Bischoff is. By the way, Eric Bischoff was off of main event because he legitimately was trying to run the show backstage and had stuff to do.
Yeah.
Okay. That's it. Last month, Eric Bischoff was injured. Oh, look, there's security guards.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I can tell because their arms are folded.
Yes. All right. Okay, so yeah, these security guards will protect everybody from Scott Hall and Kevin Nash.
Aha.
Okay.
Yep. They look tough. That guy on the left part of the screen, he looks like he means business.
Yep, no nonsense.
He's got his hat, right. So
he was helping. Yeah, the outsiders are not going to come out for an interview. Yeah, I know you're shocked.
Okay, absolutely stunned.
Yeah. Okay, so when's Gene going to plug the hotline here? there's a human. Oh, yep. Gene has a human shield to protect himself. That's good.
All he's missing is John Candy from National Lampoon's Vacation.
Well, that's true. Yep. He would have been perfect here.
Absolutely.
Yes. You are part of history, folks. Mean Gene just said so. That's what Mean Gene does so well. All right, yes. This is what you've been waiting for.
For once, he might not have been overplaying it either. Like, this really did turn out to be quite a historic night.
So, yes, Disco Inferno is the number one contender for the Cruiserweight title, folks.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's got a gold record.
What was the weight limit on the Cruiserweight division back then?
I want to say 230.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely not 205 Live era.
I was going to say 230 is pretty gosh darn massive, actually, but... Mm-hmm.
Yep. They've built up Disco somewhat for this, believe it or not. So, he's set, obviously.
Disco Inferno had a great gimmick, man.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
He was all in, as they say.
That's true.
My roommate April at the time, she absolutely adored Disco Inferno.
I can give her his number.
I'll let her know.
Okay. He doesn't look about. He looks close to the same.
April looks pretty close to the same.
Well,
too,
there you go.
She did back then, so they're gonna have a great time.
All right. There we go. That's it. I mean, WWF missed their chance to have Honky Tonk Man managing this guy. They blew it.
They had an opportunity to do that?
Yes, they did. But they instead decided Billy Gunn as Rockabilly would be a better solution.
God. Oh, yep. Okay. All right.
Who needs Disco Inferno when you have Billy Gunn to do that gimmick?
Okay. All right. Well, Disco Inferno isn't 6 foot five or whatever, yeah. So.
Okay, here we go. And there he is. Dean Malenko. Oh, yeah. Disco interrupted Dean Malenko on Nitro. Wow. Oh. Yeah. See? You don't need to be a promo guy. Just, you know, get the right facial expressions.
Oh, Dean Malenko was almost my favorite wrestler at the time. I loved that guy.
Oh, yeah. Number one in the PWI 500.
Oh, that's right. They did that one year, didn't they?
There we go. Now, how can you not like that? But just go in and shake your booty pants. This is what it should be.
Everything that Malenko did, it had such realism to it. Everything he did had such snap. There was like an intensity to it. There was no wasted motion with him. He was so good in the ring.
This is one guy who I'm amazed isn't a trainer for NXT, but really? I don't know why. I mean, there might be a good reason.
Well, doesn't he have Parkinson's or something? I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly.
I think he has an illness.
Yeah, he stayed quiet. I'll grant you. That would be a good reason to stay quiet. All right, I will look that up as we continue.
Yeah, right. I think I remember recently on one of the what is it? Not Under the Ring. Dark Side of the Ring. Yeah, isn't that the name of that show?
Yeah, that is the name of that show.
Well, they had Malenko on Dark Side of the Ring, and I remember him visibly shaking on camera.
Okay, let's see. Maybe. Oh, yeah, he's currently signed to AEW as senior producer. Okay, that's right. I forgot.
Well,
that explains a lot. Never mind.
Suppose it does.
Former road agent for WWF and New Japan. So, yeah, I think his resume is just fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Daniel Bryan, and a quote from Daniel Bryan saying his number one guy growing up was Dean Malenko. Well, a heart attack in 2010. And August 2019 revealed he suffered from Parkinson's. Okay.
Okay. He had a heart attack?
Yeah.
Wow.
In 2010, yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. Let's see. Married with three children. Yep.
He's not old enough to be having heart attacks.
He's 59.
Yeah, but he was 49 at the time, right?
Yeah, that's true.
How old are you, Pat?
I'm 50, and I have not had a heart attack.
Yeah, good God. That's scary to hear that kind of stuff.
Yes, but in fairness to me, I don't take care of myself much. So.
I don't think that helped your case at all.
Well, I take care of myself better than some people, but I would have been willing to bet that Malenko was in better condition than I am.
Right, I'm saying this guy's been an athlete his entire life, and he had a heart attack at 49.
It happens, though.
I guess, it does. And he winds up with Parkinson's.
Yep. All right. And Disco's done a good job here. I pick on Disco because I can. Yeah. But yeah.
I have never been anything but thoroughly entertained when I hear you interviewing Disco Inferno or him on any podcast. I've always enjoyed him. I disagree with every single opinion he has.
Yes, but that's the point. Yeah,
but I find him thoroughly entertaining.
Right. That's what I mean. He's a guy who's. I mean, he's found his calling. He's he's on a lot of podcasts.
He certainly is.
Well, his other calling is his calling is being a host at a gentleman's club. But anyway. Oh yep.
Seems like that suits him quite well.
I can only imagine it does. Yeah. I have not been to his place of employment, but I'm guessing he does it well.
I'm sure that he does. Like that short drop kick that Dean Malenko just hit him with on the back of the neck. My God, that was a thing of beauty. The way he snapped that off and the precision that he has on it, my God.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's a vanilla midget. He's not interesting.
Please.
I know.
He had to be one of the best wrestlers in the entire world at this time.
Yes, he was.
My goodness.
This was the way to book the cruiserweight division. They're guys who are just in a different weight class. That's all.
Exactly.
Okay. So Heenan's pointing out Disco's had no offense, which is, I think,
he
accurate.
Really hasn't.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Well, and up. Nope. Nah, this is.
Yeah.
Yep.
His hair is gorgeous, though.
Yeah, his hair is perfect.
Yeah, Disco's got the hair advantage on Malenko all freaking day.
Yeah, he should be. His hair is suited for drinking a pina colada at Trader Vic's. There we go.
It certainly is.
All right. There he is. Yep. Okay. So that's the story here. I mean, Disco's taking a beating, and, you know, he's outclassed, but he's not quitting. Which is, there we go. Yes. There's the offense from Disco. And look at that. I mean,
look at Disco firing.
Crowd's getting
up
behind him. Yeah, oh, yeah. I guess he's supposed to be the baby face here by default. Even though people actually enjoyed Malenko.
Right.
All right. So, yeah, here's his cut. He's got his spots. I mean, this is just done really well. Oh. Perfect.
That was perfect. It had me nervous there for a second, but I didn't think they had the distance.
Yep. He almost checked his hair there. Yeah. He's a serious wrestler guy, at least for one match. Yeah.
Sure. They couldn't find a spot for him in AEW even now. Come on.
And Malenko?
Disco
shows up in Impact every so often.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, they could. Then it's not like they're traveling a lot. He's in Vegas. Next time they're in Vegas, you know, put him out there on Dark or something.
Yeah.
Or do a bit with him. Yeah, why not?
They found a spot for Joey Janela. Come
on. That's true.
They found spots for
people, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you can only find, I mean, the thing is, you know, I know that the cons are wealthy, but you can only find spots for so many guys.
That's right.
At least
it's going to be interesting to see what happens when the first round of contracts come up, whenever that is. Like, are they going to hang on to all these guys that they signed at the beginning?
I think they're going to hang on to a pretty good chunk of them. I mean, they're assuming that they you know, eventually get back to performing in front of a live audience and start making some money. Yep. 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 Here we go. Yep. So.
I like Disco's outfit. Like, I like the pants. I like the touchy detail that he has.
Yep. Oh, yeah, this is, yeah.
It was a good gimmick. It was a good act.
Mm-hmm.
Easy, very easy to understand, to say the very least, you know?
Yep, and I think if you're going to do a gimmick, you know, something like that.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, come up with something that everybody... You need to come up with something that you walk out from the curtain and everybody gets what your gimmick is.
Absolutely.
I'm not talking about T.L. Hoppe the Wrestling Plumber, although I guess that is an example.
I suppose it is, but...
Yeah.
That's a little on the nose.
Right. And Malenko is making his way. Oh, Disco's making his way, fighting his way to the ropes.
I mean, this isn't...
There we go. He's made it to the ropes. Yeah.
This isn't crap on AEW night for me or anything, but when I think of how Disco Inferno was kind of a joke wrestler. Well, not kind of. He was a joke wrestler in WCW. But compared to, you know, some of the you know, some of the lower rung talent that they have in AEW, he looks so much less, you know, Bush League. He looks so professional compared to many of the guys on TV right now.
Right. Okay. Here we go. Oh, there we go. Come back. Right. Okay.
And Disco doesn't do anything over ambitious that he can't do.
No,
he doesn't do anything that looks bad.
Yeah, on the few occasions when I actually had to get in the ring, that was the thing that scared me the most. You know, it was,
yeah.
So I mostly stuck to getting my ass kicked, which, you know.
Right. Yeah. Half of wrestling, I always thought, was realizing what you can't do well and not doing it.
Right.
You
know? Yeah. I threw lousy punches, but I was a manager. That was kind of my gimmick, so, yeah.
You weren't a trained fighter, quote-unquote.
Right. I wasn't.
So you shouldn't be up to...
I wasn't a trained fighter. I did get trained in how to, you know, in how to take a few bumps, nothing too stupid.
And, oh, I have? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There we go. All right. There we go. The Chart Buster.
That's a nice looking neck breaker.
Oh, he did the dance.
You got to go for that cover, Disco. Oh, that's a rookie mistake.
Yeah. He just got too excited.
Got to hook that leg.
Yep. Any beginning announcer could tell you that. Oh, that's so sweet. Dean Malenko, ladies and gentlemen.
So good. Just so good.
Oh, here we go. Oh, nope. Ooh. Oh, whole match was building up for that spot.
Yeah, I kind of thought he had him. I'm going at this totally with fresh eyes. I haven't watched this.
I haven't seen this match in a while, so.
I haven't watched this since 1996, so.
Well, that's generally the best way to, you know. That's the best way to go into some of these.
Hmm.
There we go. Ouch.
Strikes look good. Everything looks good.
Ooh, nicely done. There he goes. Up. No, the backslide. Yeah, Disco's not. Yeah, Disco. It's gonna be out of character for Disco to catch Dean Malenko off guard with a backslide.
It certainly would, wouldn't it?
I like it. Oh, there we go. Put him up. Texas Cloverleaf! Yes. Yep. There we go.
Gorgeous.
Yep. And instead of getting Disco over as a baby face, you got Dean Malenko over as a baby face, but still. No, I think you got Disco over.
I think so, too.
That's my... Yep. Mm-hmm. That's right.
I always liked the main plate of that cruiserweight belt. Yeah. I just didn't like the side plates. I never cared for those.
Okay, and there we go. Oh my goodness, we have another amazing moment coming up. As you might have, I know that I guess you talked about you're not really on Twitter, Ken, but if you were on Twitter, you would have witnessed sort of the on wrestling Twitter. Sort of a career renaissance for one of the wrestlers in our next match, a former United States champion, a former football player turned pro wrestler. Clips of him turned up all over Twitter. I'm of course talking about member of the Four Horsemen, Steve Mongo McMichael. And this is Steve Mongo McMichael's first pay-per-view singles match that we're about to see.
No kidding.
I know. It's a big moment for everybody.
Even though I stay away from Twitter, I have seen many of those clips, and they did not fail to
just as delightful as
they were. They were tremendous.
This is the Desperado, Joe Gomez.
Joe Gomez.
Desperado, Joe Gomez, yes.
I very vaguely...
That's exactly, yep.
Yeah. He kind of looks like a more svelte Steve Mongo McMichael, actually.
Right,
I was a little confused at first.
Yes. And we're still talking about how the evil Steve McMichael turned his back on his friend Kevin Green and blah, 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 blah. Oh, the crab cam!
Ah, okay.
Yep.
So that's what that is.
Do, 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 do. Yeah, I try to pull up Joe Gomez here, and it turns out there's a soccer player named Joe Gomez who's more famous than this Joe Gomez. So
I bet he is.
Yep.
How tall is this Joe Gomez?
I'm trying here.
He was dwarfing referee Anderson, and yeah. Pee-wee Anderson is really tall.
Okay. Yep. Okay, there we go. Yep. Deborah McMichael, who she was a natural, you know.
Yeah, oh my God, she was a terrific heel.
Oh yeah. She was a she became a star right away. Yes. All right, Joe Gomez, 6'4", 264, trained by Steve Kern.
6'4"?
That's what it said. Well, build height 6'4".
Oh wait, that's
Joe Gomez. I'm talking about Joe Gomez.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry, I've confused myself. When I was talking about referee Pee Wee Anderson, when I first saw him, I was thinking that he was Nick Patrick.
Right.
And
Nick Patrick is tall.
Is very, very tall.
Deceptively
that's why
tall,
I got confused.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Pee Wee Anderson is probably 5'9".
So Joe Gomez is 23 years old here this time.
Okay.
And let's see. Okay. Worked, let's see. All right, worked Indies in Florida. Let's see. Oh, he was Alan Iron Eagle. That's right, in WCW originally.
Okay.
Yep. Another one of those. Yeah. Another one of those lower card gimmicks, I guess. Went to the Indies and went to the IWA in Japan, then came back to WCW and kind of got pushed.
All right. Yeah. Hope he saved his money.
I hope so, too. Yeah. Let's see here. Okay. And, yeah, he's a retired wrestler, which is went to NWA Florida. Okay. So was semi-active, blah, 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 blah. All right.
Yep. I hope he is happy and healthy and...
Yep. I hope so, too. I don't know what he's... don't really know what he's up to now, but let's see. All right. Yep. Okay. All right, yeah, there's not a whole lot of meat on this, so.
I've got a shocking hot take on this match, Pat.
Okay, I'm listening.
I'm gonna come right out and say it. I don't think Mongo McMichael is that good.
Really?
Really?
You don't think he's ready for the big stage here as a member of the Four Horsemen?
He does not look polished in the ring. I know.
Yeah, wow, that's hard to believe.
I know that's insanity, but
I mean,
he's,
I remember thinking at the time, it's brilliant to make this guy a wrestler because you'll get him off a commentary where he's just hideous.
No, he was bad.
He was all right, he got the mule kick. That's good.
He did. He did. And he hit it. He didn't miss it.
No. I mean, did he really need to be on Nitro every week with his little dog?
He did not. Oh.
With his little Paris Hilton dog there. No, he did not.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm never crazy about dogs being used as props like
that.
No,
I can understand you wouldn't be.
Yeah, they don't know what's going on. Yeah. My God. Just.
Oh, here we go. Oh, my goodness. It's a field goal kick to the ribs. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Well,
there you
at
go.
At least, you know, I mean, if he had botched it, it would have been bad, so.
it would have.
Yeah. Oh, my
what
God.
Does the 76 on his tights?
That was his jersey number when he played for the Chicago Bears.
Oh, of course.
And
of
when
course.
He played, and I'm guessing also when he played at college for the University of Texas.
Sure, that makes total sense.
Speaking of little, there's a little dog.
Yeah. She doesn't look too stressed out, so that's good.
No, no.
She
did not.
Just when you use animals as props, a lot of things can go wrong.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's see. Here we go. Here he is. Yes, Steve Mongo McMichael. Okay, here we go. Yes. Former commentator, former head coach. Oh, my goodness.
Okay. He was a head coach?
Yes, he was a head coach for, hold on, I'm looking for it. Oh, my God. Yes, the Chicago Slaughter of the Indoor Football League.
Oh, okay.
They played in Hoffman Estates.
Yeah, that tells me everything I need to know, I think.
Well, he'd be like, you know, I mean, it's not like just anybody can do that.
Was
runner-up in the election in 2013. He ran for mayor of Romeoville, Illinois, and was finished second.
Okay.
had a sports talk show, because of course he did, has a restaurant. Yes. College football career, yep. Okay. Let's see.
Can I tell the Wade Keller story about the time Keller was at the hotel?
Please do. I was trying to think of the details of that story, so please do. I was trying to remember all the details, but go ahead.
Yeah, Wade was staying at the same hotel as the WCW guys, and at some point around, 11 p.m. or something, Mongo went to the vending machine and just got candy bar after candy bar after candy bar after candy bar that he was stuffing in a sack.
And I'm going to say it if nobody else does. Mongo like candy.
Yep. All right. Yep. I do like my references.
Oh, he is, according to the Chicago Tribune, he was ranked the 18th best Chicago Bears player ever. You might not be a football fan, but back in the 1980s, the Chicago Bears had a really big season, and they did a rap video and all of that. And he was a big part of that.
Yeah, I remember. Yes. They weren't here to cause any trouble, Pat. They were just here to
do the Super Bowl
shuffle.
Ooh, okay. We have seen Joe Gomez battle for his life. Well, okay, that's one way of putting it.
Yep. Perhaps
or his dignity. I don't know.
Now
he's battling for his life.
Oh God!
Oh, there we go.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Joe, go, Joe. Yeah. I'm sorry, but Alan Iron Eagle is a cooler name than Joe Gomez.
It kind of is.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the greatest. I mean, not the greatest name, but yeah.
Is he of native heritage?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think Joe Gomez might be his real name, actually.
Well, he was doing chops just then, so. A dropkick.
Presumably, they would have had him learn how to do chops, I mean, for crying out loud. Okay.
Oof.
But he's just so. Oh, no.
Oh, my.
No. All right. I mean, Joe Gomez went to the back and he went to the agent. He's like, I did all I could, you know. Oh, no. Bad idea. Tombstone Piledriver by Mongo. And Joe's in the ropes.
I was going to say, get his
he's
foot
in
out
the,
of the ropes,
he's in the
man.
Ropes, man.
The leg.
What are you doing? No, I think he just wanted the match. Match needed to end.
Oh, I'm glad the match ended, but the
We're
least
the
he could have done was
yeah.
that
pull
leg.
The guy out of there. Yep. Ring name Joe Gomez. Yep, okay. Yep. Well, Joe Gomez. That's his name, allegedly. Oh, my goodness.
Well, Mongo won the match, and
Thank
he
goodness.
Gets his beautiful wife, Deborah, and they lived happily ever after, I'm sure.
For a while. Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that's right. She wound up with Steve Austin. That's
yeah,
right.
That also didn't
and
happen.
And I'm sure they lasted to this very day.
No.
Okay.
You know. Yeah.
Okay, so Gomez pulled his feet away because Gomez
he's a pro.
Yeah.
At least one of them is.
Yeah.
All right. You can just hear the seconds ticking down to the main event. Yeah, that's one way of describing the fan reaction to that. There we go.
Certainly yeah. is. Yeah.
Yes. Well, yes, I can't do a job if I have a giant boner. Yes.
Whoa, are we allowed to say boner on Way Back Playback?
Probably.
Okay.
It's a PG.
Right.
PG, I think you can still say that.
Okay, all right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Wow,
She's obviously trying to mess up Oakland, so yeah.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Out of the four people on the screen right now, the only one alive is Flair.
That is a bit of an upset.
Oh my
yeah.
God, seriously, who would have guessed that?
But I mean, and people are saying Ric Flair, 71 years old, he's down there at the Performance Center every week, running around not wearing a mask, and I'm like, the coronavirus is afraid of getting infected by Ric Flair. It's not, it's, I mean, what's going to survive in his bloodstream, really?
That's a very good question.
Yeah.
I bet he's got a built-up immunity to a lot of things.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
Yeah. He looks great here in 1996. He looks really good.
Post, yes. Yes, Oakland's invited the post-show party. Yeah, Elizabeth looks very happy.
She does.
Yes. Yes, private party. Yes, oh, and woman wants to throw Mean Gene a private party. Yeah. Oakland's great.
He really was terrific. Yes. He was very good at what he did.
Yes. Right.
I loved Woman. Yeah. She was so terrific.
Oh, yes. She was.
So good in her role.
He said it all. He's done it all. Right. All right. Here we go. Grab your best hold, kid.
Oh, Gene.
Well, you know, she does make a good case, you know.
For
maybe,
does.
Maybe we should party at the hotel, yeah. We have a pole vaulting comp. Oh, cool. We're going to have a little pole vaulting competition here.
Oh Gene. Dear.
Yeah. All right. It's the one we've been waiting for.
Hot title match.
The main event for this week's show, and a good one. Yep. So Conan's hot. They've had him beating everybody. Mexican heavyweight champion, U.S. heavyweight champion. Yep. And this is his biggest WCW match to date, and he's got flair.
I'm curious to see how this goes. I don't even have a memory of this.
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah, that's understandable. It's kind of hard to remember much about this show except the main event.
Right.
Which is next week, you know.
I mean, Conan, he was still one of the biggest stars in the world at this
yes.
point, wasn't he? Or
yeah, he was
just
really
after
talented.
That,
yep.
Yeah.
All right. Yes. So Flair is at this point a former 5-time U.S. champion. Because remember, the U.S. title was the big title in Mid-Atlantic.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And how many world title reigns did he supposedly have at this point?
Well, let's see.
It's hard to tell.
Yeah, right? At this point, I'm trying to remember here, because he had, at least, jeez. You mean legitimately, or...
Oh gosh! Yeah,
I don't.
I mean, do you count the Phantom changes?
Yeah. You can't, well, right. Ric Flair. Okay. Yeah, it's great that he had the time to stop and chat with a random woman in the aisle. So, yeah. That's a nature right. boy.
I was gonna say, I'm sure he had no illicit intent whatsoever.
Oh no, no, no. No, geez. Okay, there he is. Contract.
Oh, look at his hair. Should I dye my hair like that?
No.
that would attract some attention.
That would attract some attention. I've never dyed my hair. Actually, I can't say that. I use Grecian formula, but anyway, that's not important.
Well,
now I do. But I've never dyed my hair. a different because I wanted to look blonde or something.
Right.
That would have been quite a look for me, but no, that's okay. All right, so, jeez. Okay. List of his, yeah, they don't have a list of his world titles, do they? Oh, good grief. All right. I'm gonna be looking through. Okay. Officially recognizes 16-time champion. Da, 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 da. Okay. So, at time. Da, da, da.
But it's the real number is probably more like 21.
21 is the, like yeah, is probably the most honest number that you can get out of this.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. So, he's probably a... I want to say he's probably a 10-time champion by this point.
Sure.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I'm trying to... 11. Well, maybe 11. 11. Yeah, okay. 11. Let's see here. And 12. No, 12. Probably 12, actually, now that I think about it. I mean, I can't believe... I was going to say I can't believe he won the WCW title in 2000, except everybody won the WCW title in 2000.
I think I had a brief reign with the WCW title in 2000.
Right, exactly.
You might have missed that, but it was meaningful to me. So.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Conan, when I would see pictures of him in Mexico, he looked like a beast.
Right.
Like, he looked so big, and he was all, like, gassed up to the hilt and everything.
Yeah.
But he just, you know, and they're against Flair, who's not, by wrestling standards, a very big
guy. And he's not that.
Right, yeah. He's looking
at a beast.
He's,
no.
Right, not at all.
Yeah.
That's not a knock on the guy. Yeah. I just mean, it's...
Yeah. And Conan is... managed to do well after after wrestling.
Let's see. So has he?
He has a little podcast. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Joe Feeney would probably want me to mention that, even though it's not on the Creative Control Network. So. Yeah. All right. Here we go. All right. So are we going to the real question is, are we going to get a Flair match? We're getting a Flair match so far. You know.
Yeah, I think it's easier for Conan to match Flair's speed than it is for Flair to attempt to do the same.
Well, I mean, we're getting to the point where Conan would start slowing down over the next year or two, and understandably, I think.
I bet.
Yeah.
He's going to have a lot of injuries start to pile up at this point.
That's true, too.
Yeah.
Okay, this is the number two match here of the show. In as much as any match is the
right.
This was the sub main event.
It's a very wide chasm between the six man and this.
And they're talking smack, but Flair was smiling. Conan was trying not to laugh. So
I was gonna say
didn't look all that serious. Oh, he's 13. Oh, 13 time according to Shivani at this point.
13 time world champion.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. You have to include the two in WWF, but you know.
That's right.
Yeah. Even but they finessed that, I think. Oh, here we go. And that's a record that. I'm gonna say it. I don't know that it's gonna be broken anytime soon. I don't see John Cena coming back to get 17. So,
John Cena has held the world title 16 times.
I think 15, right? Something like that. 15.
Good God. Okay.
Oh yeah, you didn't know that?
I did not.
Okay, well, then you're a way back playback guy if you don't know that.
That's right. That's right. Well, good for him, I guess.
Right. Oh yeah, yeah. Well, let's see. And why shouldn't he be? He was there for 15 years. So.
Right.
No.
Yeah, one world title reign a year. That makes sense.
Yeah, that's about right. Da-da-da. Oh, he's... Yeah, John Cena's kind of young to be semi-retired, but there you go. Yeah, the bow and arrow situation, according to Dusty, which is actually what the move's called.
Bow and arrow.
Bow and
situation.
Arrow. The bow and arrow. Let's see. Well, yeah, currently he's at 16, 13-time WWE champion, 3-time world heavyweight champion.
Good Lord.
Because why not?
Because why not? Flair goes up for that press slam amazingly well for everybody that does that to him.
You get to the point, I think, in like 2000, by 2002, 2003, Flair's the only one who takes backdrops.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah. I don't know if we're ever going to get back to taking a lot of backdrops.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. You know, not something a lot of guys are enthusiastic about, probably. Looks good.
Yet they'll take those insane,
Plus, I think the insane stuff. But I mean, I was going to say part of it is, you know, it's not really... It's not something that, you know, UFC has become more prominent. It's not something you see in mixed martial arts. But there's a lot of stuff going on in pro wrestling you don't see in mixed martial arts. So what?
Right.
Okay, here we go.
Every time I watch AEW, there's some sort of, like, half Nelson suplex that somebody's taking onto the back of their head. So.
Right. Well, that's... Yeah. Oh, Elizabeth. Oh.
Careful, Liz.
Yeah, Elizabeth didn't get out of the way quickly enough.
No, she did not.
She's okay, yeah. She's okay because it wasn't a planned spot, so. Yeah. All right. Okay.
That's one of those wrestling truisms.
Elizabeth is a human shield, and woman shakes the ropes. Very nice.
Woman shook the bottom rope.
Well, close enough.
On the WCW ring where the ropes are steel cables, and it somehow shook.
It's wrestling physics. Wrestling physics. It's centripetal force.
Why didn't she just like start smacking the ring post? That would have been as much sense.
Yeah. No, that would have been silly. Okay, there we go.
That would have been ridiculous.
And we dropped the knee. There we go. Yep. Oh.
I wish I could have dropped the knee like that in my wrestling time. What a gorgeous knee drop.
Mm-hmm. Two. Okay. Yeah, and Heenan's a big help. He's going. They're talking about flipping 39 champion. Well, I mean, think about it. Dusty was only champion 3 times. Dusty's like, yeah, that's true.
Poor Dusty.
She kicked him low. She kicked him low. Thank you, Dusty.
Dusty Rhodes, a legend, an all-time great, all of that. But man, I could not stand his commentary.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's fine for a certain match. If they're doing an unimportant match, he can do silly stuff, and it's not going to be a big deal.
Doesn't have the gravitas.
No, gravitas is not something that Dusty does on commentary.
No, it's not.
Yeah. And of course, there's not a lot of Conan fans in Daytona Beach, sadly. Distract the ref. There you go. Okay.
Look at all the people watching the ring. Like, no one, you know what I mean? No one is looking down at a phone.
I know, it's just weird. It's just weird.
They're all watching the ring. It looks
That's what life was like in the 90s. Kids, you don't know. Wow. I mean, I am amazed that we have people listening to this show who are watching this stuff for the first time, always, and it just, you know, I mean, I think that's cool, don't get me wrong. Yep.
Wait until your daughter finds out that you're older than the internet, Pat.
I'm not going to tell her. I'm not going to be the one to tell her that.
I gotcha.
Yep. Well, wait till she finds out how old I am, full stop. I mean, you know, she's 2.
Oh, well.
She doesn't know what 50 means. Oh, well.
Yeah.
I don't know what 50 means either, so.
I'm going to find out pretty soon, aren't I?
Well, I guess you will. Yeah.
A few years, anyway. Yeah.
Well, hopefully. It's not great, but it beats the alternative.
I suppose it does.
Right. Oh, here we go. Yep, we got that. Got the chin lock in. All right. Front face lock, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, what would you call that?
I don't know. A rest hold as well.
Yeah.
No, they're doing. They're yeah. You know, they're just trying to work the crowd here.
And the crowd is watching the match. This is blowing my mind.
Right? I know. It's different. Oh my goodness.
Yep. And there was this one guy in the crowd who kept standing up, and he had this big camera on a strap.
The camera on the strap.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
I remember those days.
I know. It was great. It was different, like I said. Yep. We were probably better off. In many ways, we were probably better off.
In many ways, I have no doubt.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. We didn't have the attention span of moths on crystal meth, you know?
That's very true.
All right.
Moths on crystal meth. Conan has not sold a single flare chop in this
It's Conan.
Yet, I don't think. Well, I know, but
I mean, he's like I'm a star. You know, I'm the big star in Mexico. Why should I be selling for flare? But the thing is, Flair's not the kind of guy who'd say, hey, USOB, you know.
No, I know. Flair sell. Would be yeah. the guy to tell him, don't sell this.
Yeah,
but
that's okay. Flair's used to, you know. Right. Oh, yeah.
It's interesting.
Yep. All right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You gotta love Flair, but you have to wonder over the course of his career if he had stood up for himself a few more times.
Oh yeah,
he could have been a lot better off, and
he probably would have been
received better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, he is loved in the business for who he is.
It stuck in my craw
and hated
so
also
badly.
And hated also for who he is. Let's not forget that.
That's very true.
Yeah.
When Hogan never did a job for him in WCW, you know, never even made him look like he was in his league. That bothered me so much.
Well, 2000 Flair got to beat Hogan, but nobody was watching by then, so.
Right.
No, 99, I'm sorry, 99. Yeah, nobody was watching. There we go. Oh, yeah. Everybody's
got
to
his own move.
Everybody's got to put the figure four on Ric Flair. It's like a rule.
The ultimate insult.
Yes, it is. No, the ultimate insult was Miz trying to do the figure four. That was the ultimate insult.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, Miz. I know. But it's true.
Flair falls victim to his own hold more than he actually secures a win with it.
Yes. Oh, obviously, yeah.
It's like Lieutenant Worf in the first couple of seasons of The Next Generation. Uh-huh. He was the badass warrior, but he was constantly getting his ass kicked.
Right. They had to work on that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like Flair is the master of this hold, but he's always falling prey to it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it was weird. When he was babyface, I want to say 93. Yeah, 93 and part of 94. First of all, you'd see him hit the top rope moves, which without getting caught, and you'd see him win. And you'd see him win with the figure four.
Yeah, that's true. He beat Barry Windham with it at whatever event that was.
Slamboree.
Thank you. Yes.
94. Yeah, I want to say 94. Yeah, whatever, whichever one.
93, 94, one of those two.
Yeah. Well, you know, okay, 93. He won. Yeah, he beat him. Well, he had to because Barry had an injured knee, so it was the right finish.
Right.
Oh, here we go.
Oh my.
Yeah. This is not going as smoothly as you'd want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably not the best match of either man's career.
No, I was gonna say that. Oh, there we go.
It's like someone took Conan and they were like, here, wrestle in this giant jar of Vaseline. He's like Conan at half speed.
Yeah, well.
And he popped back up right into an Irish whip.
Of course. Of course he did. Okay. Oh, here we go. Oh, look at that.
What is that?
That's a move made famous by Wilbur Snyder. I don't remember. I think That's what it said. Oh, a woman has a shoe. Who uses a shoe?
Who uses a shoe?
Help, I got hit by a woman's shoe. Help. Gee, I mean, come on, you know.
How long is this going to play out?
Oh, God. She's waiting for, I mean, so a woman's up there waiting literally forever for Conan to get over there. Spike heel in the temple.
Nick Patrick looks like an absolute buffoon.
Yeah, well he's used to it by now.
Well, I'm sure that he is, but even so.
All right, there you go. Ric Flair is your U.S. champion.
Of all the matches in Flair's career, that was certainly one of them.
Yes, very good.
Thank you.
All right. Yay. There you go. Well, this was supposed to get him heel heat, but nobody wanted to see Conan win because they want to see Flair win because it's Daytona. Yep.
And it's Ric Flair, damn it.
Yep. Okay. All right, he's listening at the door. Behind these doors are the Outsiders. And they have been joined by a third man. Oh, my goodness. And as the third man's voice sounds vaguely familiar. But I can't really, because it's muffled, Gene can't identify it. Gosh darn it.
Oh, wow. Gene.
Oh, God. Yep. That's right. Okay. Luger, Sting, and the Macho Man Randy Savage against Hall and Nash and somebody. That's right. And we'll be getting to that next week. Yes. Because we're at about the end of this here. All right. Tony, do you have any idea? So Tony's like, I've been out here all day. What the heck would I know? Yeah. Yes.
Oh, Tony.
Can you give me a guess? Yeah, Tony's like, I don't know. It's somebody we've seen. Okay. Yeah.
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 Okay. Yeah. Some brilliant analysis here. Yeah. Absolutely brilliant analysis.
Hey, Heenan's got a point. Heenan's got a point. Like, didn't any of the policemen see him come in?
Heenan asked all the good questions on the
He's like, why don't you bribe one of the security guys to go? And he's like, Gene, why don't you bribe one of the security guys to go in there and find out who it is?
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay, there we go. That's going to be it. We're going to wrap it. 156.58, that's a good stopping point. We'd like to thank those of you who subscribe to our Patreon over at patreon.com/waybackplayback. If you go to patreon.com/waybackplayback, you can see our previous shows, including our archives, which feature a lot of the first 3 years of the show when we were behind the paywall. You cannot download these anywhere else. Well, that's not true, but I'll keep going anyway. This is great, kid. Okay, so Ken, you have been on the Wayback Playback Patreon. What do you like about it so far?
I think I just like the convenience most of all. Mm-hmm. It's just the ability to give back to a podcast that I feel deserves your support and deserves your patronage. I mean, and the site makes it extremely easy. Even a very non-savvy tech person such as myself was able to handle it.
Okay, that's good. For as little as $4.50, you can be a patron of Wayback Playback and enjoy getting our episodes in advance, hopefully by a couple of days, or at least by one day. Get our episodes in advance and get them ad-free. Not that Ken's ads aren't delightful, but some of you might be interested in saving a few minutes here and there. And get all the back issues, and we have bonus stuff, including bonus matches, including shows that Jim and I have done in the past elsewhere. It's patreon.com/waybackplayback. Check it out.
Absolutely.
So next week on this very program, two big matches. We have the tag team match, the Dungeon of Doom versus the Horsemen. And, of course, it's the Giant and Kevin Sullivan against Arn Anderson and Chris Benoit. And the six-man tag that we have referenced before. And, of course, if you'd like to know more about Conan, Ric Flair, Steve Mongo McMichael, Joe Gomez, or the Disco Inferno, you can go visit pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, or Wrestling Observer. And if your local library is open, please go wear a mask. Jim Valley especially would appreciate it. Ken?
Yes, he would. Yes, sir.
Yes.
Same way back time, same playback channel.
Yes, and of course, we're coming up on our sixth anniversary show. Any suggestions you have, go to join us on, find us on Twitter. I'm at Real Pat McNeil. He's at Jim Valley. Ken is at Ken and Tech, as we discussed earlier. Go to Facebook, facebook.com/WaybackPlaybackPodcast, even though I haven't posted there in nearly long enough. And our Patreon, of course, is patreon.com/WaybackPlayback. Any of those ways is a good way to reach us, and next week we'll wrap this up. So until next Sunday, yesterday is history, tomorrow's a mystery, next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.